Under incessant air and artillery attack, the people of Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine have seen their homes destroyed and their lives turned upside down. When Russia invaded their country, few could have imagined the brutality that would ensue or how hard it would be for civilians to survive. But for those who have stayed in this shattered city, somehow humanity prevails. This is their story.
This is Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city. Its once graceful center, its museums, shops and government buildings are now bomb-scarred monuments to a savage war. Less than 30 miles from the Russian border, Kharkiv was an early target when the invasion began on February 24. Ukrainian forces managed to halt that thrust on the outskirts of the city, but ever since, it's been under aerial and artillery attack. The north and east of the city have been bombarded for weeks.
Сначала ударили миномётом. Сзади меня вот видно, нет, там разбили целый подъезд. Когда собрались все люди, полиция, спасатели, накрылись второй раз градами. То есть такая система: ударить первый раз, подождать, пока соберётся как можно людей, как можно больше людей, и накрыть второй раз.
Russian frustration at being unable to take the city now finds an outlet in random destruction.
Если люди живые, которые были
все живые, все живые,
никаких раненых нет, да?
Нет.
Все хорошо.
Firefighters have been called to a street in the northern Saltivka district, and our rookie reporter is here to record it.
На улице там газ, короче, выпасил.
Не-не, да. Тут нормально. Ходите, тут нормально.
Спасибо вам большое.
My name is Sergei Prokopenko. I am living in Kharkiv. Before war, I was running with my team, tremendous team, creative, social enterprise, business.
At the beginning, there were situations that you or run or try to do something. One of the pieces was to run and get a refugee, but we pick and our team picked to stay and do something at this time. Basically, in that hard situation, I pick to be journalist and reporter. I'm not a war reporter, of course. I don't know how to do this, but it seems like I learn.
At the moment, young men are not being asked to fight if they don't have any combat experience or useful skills. The firefighters Sergei's filming with know it's dangerous being here, but they remain defiant. But there's still a danger of secondary shelling, and Sergei is told to leave in a hurry.
My name is Yaroslav Hustic, and I was born and live in Kharkiv. This is my home. Before the war, I was happy. On the day the war began, I was waking up at 5 a.m. I heard loud explosions. After a while, I ran to the ATM to withdraw cash. But while I was standing in line, a bomb fell 2 streets away from me. I will never forget that sound.
24-year-old Yaroslav is one of Serhii Prokopenko's Guara media team. Since the war began, he and his family have been sheltering in their second-floor apartment. He's been keeping a video diary.
Morning, it's 30 minutes past 11. 16th day of the war. Almost all the time we sit in between two walls in our house and almost do nothing. It is still heavy, scared, and some kind of angry.
I have a headache from loud sounds every day, and almost all the day I was spent on the floor between the walls on my home. Maybe that's all for right now. Good night and sleep.
The northern and eastern parts of the city are under constant bombardment. But elsewhere, volunteers are helping to keep people alive. Hidden in the back streets of central Kharkiv, this former hostel has been converted into a community welfare centre. It goes by the name of Hell's Kitchen.
Тому що у нас є кухня, і тому що ми, як це, трошки тут робимо пекло для наших ворогів. Так.
Якщо перші дні, ну, не було нічого, ну, не перші, от пройшло там перші декілька, ну, там днів, там перший тиждень, на другий тиждень було, мабуть, найважче. Да, магазини зачинилися. Ну, логістика вся зруйнувалась. Все, дуже багато людей поїхало.
But as the war continued, international aid began to arrive. Hell's Kitchen now provides food and medication to over 2,500 people daily. And they even have a signature product with a particular message embedded in the crust. The trident signifies that Ukraine is united and will fight on.
Я вообще за то, чтобы все хлеба с гербами производили. Каждому хлебу по гербу.
The food produced here isn't just for civilians. It's hard to cook at the front line, and the hot meals they deliver to their soldiers are crucial to the war effort.
Ворог їсть просрочені сухпаї, а наші гарячий суп. І, звісно, що вони роблять 200-х набагато краще, коли вони накормлені, виспавшись.
Before the war, Igor was a manager at an international IT company and regularly traveled all over Europe.
Слава Україні!
His wife, Luda, also worked in IT, but now packs delivery boxes from 6 in the morning to after midnight. Despite the daily attacks, the city authorities have somehow kept essential utilities operating.
Там стоять на випадок, якщо водоперебой. Хотілося дуже сказати ще, дуже важливо, що наші комунальники, це прям, вони теж на передовій. Вони працюють так, що це просто їм величезна подяка, тому що вони теж в небезпеці, але вони підтримують світло, воду, тепло.
Loading up the van outside Hell's Kitchen, the volunteers are preparing for another long and dangerous day. Serhii and his camera are going along for the ride. One of the center's most active recruits is Andriy Guzenko. Until a few weeks ago, he worked at Hartron, a Ukrainian aerospace company. He's now leading a rather different life.
На передовой это очень опасно. У нас, конечно, тоже местами страшно, но не так, как там. Там прямое попадание в жилой дом, пятиэтажка. Я не знаю, погибли там люди или нет, но ну, там ужасно. И никто, ну, туда еще коммунальщики не приступали. А люди там живут в доме, ну, вы сейчас посмотрите, в каких условиях они там живут. То есть стен нет, ни окон нет, а нет стен.
Привет.
Оденьте жилетки, да, чтобы все были этот. И, потому что тут люди, видишь, там еще живут. Надо просто найти людей, которым надо помощь, а дальше все остальные увидят, они будут сами подходить. Хорошо?
Хорошо.
Здравствуйте!
Это я, не стремлюсь, я давай забрать.
Где вы?
Вам помощь нужна, окна позакрывать.
Солнышко, это не мои окна, у меня остались. Я 3 дня не выходила, дверь входную заклинила.
The volunteer team head up the 5 flights of stairs to the aid of 86-year-old Lydia Romanovna.
Есть кто-нибудь здесь?
Нет, никого нет.
Вы только одна здесь?
Я одна здесь. 3 дня не выходила на улицу. Ела воды, они у метро. Эти уехали, я не знаю, где они. Те уехали. Ну, в общем-то, я пока одна. Вот у нас же вышка, вон она, вышка. Ее разбомбили. Говорят, что по второму разу он летел и ударил. Там люди были на 2-комнатной квартире, только они в спальне там были. Я настолько испугалась, что я просто силу влетела.
Скажите, вы не собираетесь как-то в метро спрятаться или куда-нибудь?
Потом, сынок, потом. Может, ребята мне 2-3 дня не сделают, чтобы мне хоть закрыть. Хоть тапки останутся, их порастянут. Да. Их порастянут.
Домой грейтесь,
да. Я для себя. Я подметаю, немножко убираю.
Держи.
Сейчас такое, что тяжело от людей отходить. Им просто хочется общаться. Просто у них вакуум информации.
Morning, it's 11 a.m. and 20th day of the war. But yesterday it was pretty loud day as the day before and day before. Today my dad and my brother, they went to the supermarket and buy some food, and now we still sitting at our house. Sometimes we scream to each other, and we're trying to. I hear some explosions. I don't know. Is it record? And do you hear it?
Also good news, a couple days ago from my colleagues came some rescues, so we share it when it's free and trying to be safe. The situation is like it was very intensive shooting in Kharkiv center over the night. I know that several buildings is destroyed.
One of those buildings houses one of Ukraine's most important art collections. It was damaged when an adjacent police and security headquarters were targeted by a Russian rocket. But indiscriminate firing is no respecter of history or culture.
То сейчас происходит, это дикость. Никогда этого не было, никогда.
Волною побивали усі вікна музею, звісно, постраждали твори, тому що нарушився температурно-вологісний режим, оскільки склав Тому, так як рятувальники зараз зайняті тим, що рятують життя людей, ми рятуємо наші картини так, як в змозі.
Марина Филатова is the head of the Foreign Art Department at Kharkiv Museum of the Arts. It's home to 25,000 rare and valuable exhibits, many of which, ironically, are Russian.
Ми, українці, спасали картини російських художників для того, щоб російські солдати їхні російські. Ось так руйнується у нас західноєвропейське мистецтво. Це мистецтво світового рівня, твори Альбрехта Дюрера. В нашому музеї одна з найцінніших колекцій цього митця. Ми намагаємося їх сховати зараз. Але ж наш музей надзвичайно постраждав, і як це буде відновлюватися.
Before the war, Marina and her husband lived just a few blocks away from the museum. But their street and apartment was heavily bombed, and they had to move into a shelter. She's been trying to come to terms with what's happened.
А так як у нас є близький родственник у Москві, це рідний брат моєї свекрові. Та коли у нас почали стріляти, вона йому позвонила. Я говорю, Віталік, у нас. Він говорить, не волнуйся, це, говорить, воєнна операція. По аеродромам пройдуться, мирне населення трогати не буде. Я стараюсь зробити так, щоб в моїй душі не було ненависті. Я знаю, що ненависть – це чувство, яке розрушає кому би то ні було.
Today, the largest market burning in Kharkiv. This is not clouds. This is smoke. I don't know if there is somewhere safe in Ukraine now. My friends say they hear explosions getting closer, and yeah, I'm afraid that the Russians will enter the city because I don't know what will happen and what to do in this case. But I hope it doesn't happen. I wish for peace.
Yaroslav and his family don't want to voluntarily leave their house, but for others, one place of at least partial safety in Kharkiv is the city's metro. Katya Pereshchanska and her partner Andriy fled here from their home in northern Soltivka, one of the city's worst affected districts.
Ми сиділи спочатку, все поки нормально, все було так, но росли стекла, дрожало все. Но мы сидели в квартире до тех пор, пока не начали дома.
Before the war, Kharkiv had a population of 1.5 million, but over half of the inhabitants have left. When the fighting began, 2,500 people took shelter in this one metro station. Now there are just 700. Yulia Zinko is one of those who stayed, but it's not a healthy environment.
Единственная проблема, это, конечно, что все болеют. Нас очень много. Все кашляют, чихают. Дети по 4 раза болели. Я же говорю, только ребенка забрала с больницы. Потому что это невозможно вылечить. Просто только вылечиваешься, заболеваешь. Потому что новые вирусы заносятся.
But at least every day volunteers bring supplies to be distributed. Blankets, clothes and medicines. There's plenty of food and water. And Yulia has no plans to leave.
Многие знакомые повыезжали, они уже обратно хотят возвращаться. Все дети уже пока раз выехали. Куда вы тут сейчас вернетесь? Все равно некуда.
Morning. It's 40 minutes after 11, 20 of March, and the day number 25 of the war. Yesterday our electricity was turned off and there is no water either. It seems like some kind of joke, but this is our life and this is our reality of survival.
Like the electricity supply, the water supply is erratic. When the water's on, they fill every available container and personal hygiene becomes a luxury.
Yesterday wasn't turned on the water and we used all the water that we have on our baths. But today, right now, we have a little pressure. I'm sitting on the balcony, it's sunny right now, and I hear some sounds of spring. I can say the like birds are singing, and it's beautiful.
Волонтеры. Подскажите, пожалуйста, я сейчас воздушная тревога закончится, я хочу к вам выезжать. Вы можете любой адрес сказать, хоть приблизительно? Я в минут через 20 вас хочу быть уже. Удобно? Понял. Хорошо, спасибо. Спасибо. Сейчас закончится, я к вам. Спасибо.
Like firefighters, medics are in big demand. Andriy Guzenko has had an urgent call from one of his volunteers, whose mother, Mrs. Marinich, has fallen during a bombing attack. He's found a doctor and is taking him to help. The doctor quickly diagnoses a suspected hip fracture. But there's little he can do.
Я специально для такого рода пациента. Вот это ваш старый сапог. Носок я вот здесь обрежу вот так, чтобы пальцы торчали. А сюда палку прибью. Что?
This makeshift boot splint is supposed to stop the leg moving and protect the hip, but the injury will have lasting consequences. But it's the best the doctor can do in the circumstances, and the last call for the team services before they head back to their shelters. No one knows what the next weeks will bring, but Yaroslav has made a decision.
Me with my family, we think that if street fights start, and I hope they don't start, if the Russians try to enter the city, we will have to leave. I have a little bag where my documents and also some food and some stuff which I will need in a case of leaving some money. It has become quiet now, but the fire of war is continues to burn.
For now, Serhii has also decided to stay. But he too knows he may have to leave eventually.
We don't want to go. We wanna. It's our job, basically. We wanna continue reporting. If Russians would come, and Ukrainian troops would not able to beat them, and if the city fighting will start, I think it will be the moment when we need to go.
When war came to Kharkiv, it changed people's lives in ways none of them could have foreseen. But for each of them, and the other residents of this battered city under siege, life somehow still goes on.